Flakegate is a command line tool for linting Python projects. By default, it includes lint checks provided by PyFlakes, PyCodeStyle, and McCabe. What does all that mean? Anthony Sotilli is a maintainer of Flakegate and has kindly offered to explain it all to us. Thanks, Anthony.
Welcome to Test and Code. If you've found value in this podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go over to pythontest.com and look either in the top menu bar or in the bottom footer? And there's a few links we're going to talk about. Contact is how you can get a hold of me. Newsletter is how I can get a hold of you. And support is how you can find links to things like my book, the PyTest book, PyTest courses, the community where you can ask questions, and that's about it, really. I'd really appreciate if, especially if you could sign up for the newsletter. I'm trying to collect emails of people that might be interested in similar topics.
So today on Test and Code, I am thrilled again to have Anthony Sotilli on. And I just practiced his last name again before we came on because for some reason, I don't know, it's a blocker for me. But it's a cool name.
It's tricky.
So Anthony, thanks for coming back.
Yeah, good to be on here.
I was reminded recently that you maintain or help maintain, or at the very least are involved with a whole bunch of different cool projects. And
just a few.
And then we're just going to zoom in to just a few of these. So we're going to talk about Flakegate and a whole bunch of related tools. What's Flakegate?
So the idea behind Flakegate is to take some common, first, provide a common substrate to build linting tools on top of. But it also combines the two plus one other that's optional, the two most popular linters in Python. Those are PyFlakes and PyCodeStyle, which used to be called PEP8, but Guido said, please rename. And so, man, that was a pain. it was renamed to PyCodeStyle and not PEP8. So what Flakegate does is it basically takes, it provides a plugin interface such that anyone can write whatever linter that they want on top of it. It provides easy exclusion and inclusion and recursion, or file system recursion. It also has no QA, so you can ignore, lint failures. It has configuration so that you can set up your particular, set of tools and stuff, and it'll work for anyone that clones that and sets up the right tools. It also provides metadata to plug into pre-commit, so you can use it with that. But the idea behind Flakegate is, to be a plugin framework for linters.
Oh, okay.
So it actually doesn't implement any of its own checks. All of the checks for Flakegate come from the underlying tools. PyFlakes provides kind of programmatic correctness checks, things like missing variable names or extra imports or stuff like that. Whereas PyCodeStyle tends to lean more towards the white space sort of checks, like did you indent this properly according to PEP8? Of course, PEP8 always PEP8 is a living and breathing document that has flip flopped on quite a few issues back and forth over the years. So PyCodeStyle's view of the world is some snapshot of some parts of PEP8. I guess in a way, renaming it away from PEP8 is a good idea, but it's gone back and forth on several rules several times, so it's it has a particular set of opinions that are encoded. Most of the time, when PEP8 flip flops, we just disable both rules and then you can pick one.
Okay, now I'm curious. Can we talk about at least one rule that got flip flopped?
Sure. The one that people run into the most is W504 and W503, which on their own mean nothing. But it is the placement of a binary operator when you have an expression split across multiple lines. The PEP originally said that the operator should go at the end of the line so that all of the expressions line up. But it has been changed recently so that the operators are supposed to be at the beginning of the line so that all the operators line up. I know which style I prefer, and I'm not going to impose that on people, but I actually don't like the change that was made there. I like to line up all the operands, personally. So that you can see each expression in a row. And this also happens for Boolean expressions, too. So if you have, comparison and, comparison and, comparison and, Of course, the and would be at the beginning of the line if you're adhering to the new Pep 8 style, and if the and would be at the end of the line if you're adhering to the old Pep 8 style.
Okay. And I'm just going to guess that operand is not the operator. So operand is the thing that's not the operator.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. The thing that's really annoying about this is because PyCode style has both of these lint rules, it's really easy to misconfigure and enable both of them at the same time and then have it be impossible to satisfy the linter.
And what's the most common way or preferred way to enable a different rule then? Like if I wanted to enable one of those.
Yeah, so Flake 8 has a few settings for enabling and disabling particular rules. The easiest or the most common one is at the top level, there is a Flake 8 configuration in either setup.cfg, .flake 8, or talks.ini, depending on which file you want to put it in.
Okay.
And it has include, exclude, or I guess ignore. Yeah. Include and excluder for files. There is select and ignore and extend ignore for particular lint rules. And usually you don't have to touch select. Usually select is, on its own, it will enable your plugins and enable the default setup checks for you. Mostly, I suggest using extend ignore instead of ignore. And the difference between the two is extend ignore will keep the default ignore set, which includes all of those mutually exclusive rules. Both of them are off. Of course, if you want to turn one of them on and not the other one, you have to enumerate all the specific things you want to ignore, which is kind of annoying. Like it would be nice if there was a extend select, but we haven't. I haven't implemented it yet because the configuration story in Flake 8 is not great. It really needs a big refactor to be much more accessible to users.
Okay, so I can do an extend ignore exists, but extend select doesn't.
Right. There is a patch to add it, but it needs a little bit of work to get landed.
So is there a way to just find out what all the default selects are?
Yeah, if you do Flake 8 -help, it'll print it out in the little help list.
Okay,
so
if I wanted to select my own stuff, then a similar thing to select ignore would be to dump that and then start from there and then
add to that list. That would totally work.
Okay.
The other thing is anytime you add a plugin, it will automatically get added as well, assuming the plugin has set up their metadata correctly. There's a few buggy plugins which claim they support one lint rule and then output a different one, which I've been meaning to fix that as well, because that should produce an error so that the plugin author knows to fix it, but apparently doesn't do that.
Tell me again the default ones. There's PyFlakes, there's PyCode style.
There's PyFlakes, which is correctness checking, there's PyCode style, which is white space and Pep 8 checks, and then there's McCabe, which is enabled by default, but it doesn't error by default, and that is a complexity checker.
Oh, right.
Basically, cyclomatic complexity based on if statements and try statements and loops in functions.
And I occasionally know what that means.
I usually turn it off because I find the cyclomatic complexity. So here's my experience with cyclomatic complexity. On every repository that I've worked on that has a cyclomatic complexity checker, at like work or whatever, if somebody exceeds the cyclomatic check, like say the threshold is set at 10, I've seen only two responses to this, and one is to bump the number to 11, and the other is to no QA that function. I've never seen somebody actually split up a function that meets that fails a cyclomatic check. And, if they do split up the function, it often makes the code less readable because you're not actually taking it and moving it into reusable parts. You're just, splitting the code to satisfy a linter. So in my opinion, cyclomatic complexity checkers are not actually useful tools in the toolbox, but to each their own.
Okay. So we'll have to have another Anthony on sometime to take the other opinion because...
I mean, they can be useful for identifying complex pieces of code and providing potential, points to see refactors or recognize that, this piece of functionality does way too much. It might be really hard to maintain. But I think the common, quick, easy fixes for it are actually make the code worse.
So I always get confused with the Flake 8 thing because I think it's a collection of 8 tools. Why is the 8 there? Is it because of Pep 8?
Yeah, so so the name Flake8 used to be a mash together of PyFlakes and Pep8.
Oh, okay.
But now that Pep8 is called PyCodeStyle, I don't know, maybe it should be called FlakeCodeStyle or something ridiculous, but it no longer bears the 8 in its name.
Okay, so that's where the 8 comes from.
You can add 8 tools to it. You can add as many plugins as you want.
Sometimes I forget that. That's one of the nice things is to look at all the different plugins that are around. How do I find plugins for it?
So there's a classifier on PyPI. That's one way to find it. I usually just search Flake8 in the PyPI search. Of course, you can't use pip search because it's disabled right now, but you can still search on the PyPI page.
Well, that's how I usually do it anyway. I can search for... Is it normally Flake8 dash something? Or?
Yeah, it's usually Flake8 dash something. However, there are a few others that don't quite fall into that. Like, there's an OpenStack project called Hacking. There's the WeMake style guide, which is, as far as I know, the largest and most complicated collection of Flake8 plugins. It's something like 30 or 40 plugins in one sort of mega package that
that's the, you know, which
coordinates
one?
Those the all WeMake? Together. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right. Okay.
Theirs is very opinionated. So they have a very particular way that they like it to be written, which is good. Like, if you want a very strict style guide, that's one to go for.
But you could also use it as an example of how to specify a very picky style guide.
Yep, then. for sure. Yeah.
So that's cool. Do you know if it you can put the configuration in the PyProject TOML?
there's a very contentious issue about this currently. I've currently said no because the configuration story in Flake8 is significantly complicated at the moment, and plugging it in and properly supporting it is not easy, or you know, it's not trivial to add it.
Okay.
Plus, it adds another dependency, another complexity. I have to deal with package managers and other stuff like that. So it's not easy to add it. So at the moment, I've said no. Also, it doesn't have a clear value prop. So I don't really. I mean, I kind of understand the benefit, like jam everything into one file, but it adds a bunch of work for me and doesn't seem to add much from that perspective. I do plan to add it at some point. However, before we get to that point, there's a few things that need to get solved. One of them is Flake8 currently discovers configurations in like 4 places, and I would like to eliminate most of those and get it down to just project-based configuration. Because right now you can put a Flake8 config at like etc flake8 and it'll just work, which I don't think anyone should do that because it makes it really hard to, you know, clone a repository to another machine and have a consistent set of lint rules.
Yeah.
It also finds the Flake8 configuration in your home directory if it's there. Like there's a whole bunch of like weird edge cases with configuration and ordering and layering and stuff, and until that is simpler and easier to extend, it's hard to add another configuration file and configuration format.
Okay.
There's also the problem of real types in TOML. So the current configuration is entirely ini, and you know, everything's a string there, so it's easy to say, like, you know, take a string and parse it to this. When you involve TOML, you suddenly have structured data, and like it doesn't have a way to consume structured data at the moment.
Okay.
And doing everything as strings would kind of go against the idea of TOML. So I don't want to introduce a version where everything's strings and then be like, JK, we're going to switch to structured data now, and just, you know, have two layers of breaking changes.
I think that's a good call.
I'd rather do it right the first time.
Yeah, no, that's good.
There's also another weirdness with PyProject.toml that would break some users, where like what I would want to do is say, like, you know, PyProject.toml is the way to configure Flake8 and deprecate all the other configuration methods. The problem is the presence of a PyProject.toml file changes how pip works. Just the presence, like, you don't have to have any pip metadata in there. It just changes how, you know, pip processes your project, and this can break people's setup.pys.
Yeah.
So I want to avoid, you know, painting people into a corner based on a configuration change.
That happens sometimes just when people try to start using black.
Yep. Yeah. There's a big locked thread on Black about exactly the opposite issue of the one on Flake 8, which is, hey, can we have non-pyproject.toml config? Because it breaks me. And like, yeah.
The answer is no.
I don't want to paint my users into the same corner.
Yeah. Okay. What are some things? So PyCode style is the sort of style guide thing that people often think about. What kind of things does PyFlakes catch?
Yeah, so PyFlakes, for the most part, is trying to catch correctness things. So things like, unused imports or a name is referenced but it doesn't exist. Or what else does it check? Those are the most common ones that I see from it. Let me see. I can open it up right here and just look at the messages and scroll through that. Oh, I've added a bunch of checks recently around string formatting correctness. So, like, if you call .format and you're missing a placeholder or you have extra placeholders, it'll warn you on that.
Oh, nice.
I've actually seen... it's very common in error messages to call .format and then, like, forget to put the placeholders in there and just you end up with an error message that doesn't have anything useful in it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Unused import. Redefinitions. import star used. Undefined name. Syntax errors. Duplicate arguments and functions. Oh, repeated keys and dictionaries. Things that would cause programming mistakes at runtime. Errors at runtime, usually.
And where can I find this list of things that you're looking at?
I'm actually looking at pyflake/messages.py. But there is a list in the Flake 8 documentation of the PyFlakes error codes, because PyFlakes actually doesn't have a concept of error codes. Flake 8 translates them for
you. Oh, they're part of the Flake 8 error codes. Okay. So if I go to Flake 8 homepage and somewhere.
Yep. Yeah. If you search like F401 or PyFlakes on Flake 8's documentation, you should be able to find it. And just hot off the press, I have just moved Flake 8 from GitLab to GitHub. So if you are searching for the source code, go to GitHub instead.
Okay. Yeah.
It was a lot of work, but it's finally done. Unfortunately, I broke a bunch of links, but there's not really much I can do about that.
Well, people, I guess, will find it. And then you said that Flake 8, if you do help, help doesn't show you all the error codes, does it?
No, help will show you the default set of options. Oh, okay. The error codes either come from the underlying tools, so you'll look at the tools documentation, or for the special case of PyFlakes, it will be in the Flake 8 documentation.
Okay. All right. But so, yes, you can plug in a whole bunch of different tools, and there's a lot of different things you can plug into Flake 8. But if you just grab it by itself, it's very useful just by default. I often run it without any changes at all.
Yeah, I use the default configuration set, and I add very few plugins, if any at all.
Yeah,
I think the only plugin that I use somewhat frequently is on projects which provide a typed API. I will use a plugin that I wrote called Flake 8 Typing Imports, because the typing module has changed a surprising amount in patch versions of Python, and it's really easy to accidentally import something that doesn't exist, because it might work in your patch version of Python, but not in like 3.6.1, for instance, or 3.5.2.
Okay. Now, does Flake 8 run things that can it run things that change your code, or is it just things that check your code?
So currently it is only checkers, and I kind of want to keep it that way. There was a like alpha quality code formatter interface, but it never really worked correctly, and it didn't provide useful primitives to write formatters. Like it didn't make it easier to run a formatter, so it wasn't really doing anything. It never actually worked, and no one ever actually tried to write a formatter plugin, so it got deleted.
So, like, for instance, Flake 8 Black is a thing, checks, it doesn't change your code, it just checks to see if it would change it if you ran it, right?
So I don't actually remember. There was a while where Flake 8 Black had a side effect of changing your code as you ran it. Flake 8 Black is kind of one of those weird plugins that I don't think should exist. In my opinion, Flake 8 Black is kind of this weird gray area of plugins that I don't think should exist. There's also a PyTest Black too, which I also think is kind of weird. In my opinion, like, Black is good enough at running Black that you should just run Black directly, and plugging it into Flake 8 seems to be like a weird, like it works, but it doesn't, like a weird daisy chaining of tools together.
Yeah, PyTest Black is also kind of odd. And then also there's a, I think there's a Flake 8 PyTest, maybe.
Yeah, so what you can do is you can use PyTest to run Flake 8 to run Black if you really wanted to. I don't know why you would, but you could if you wanted to.
Okay, so don't do that. If you want to run a whole bunch of different stuff, well, one of the things you can do is you can run Tox.
Yeah, Tox is another good choice.
And or other tools like Tox. Like, I think, is it Nox?
Yeah, Nox is the other one.
And then...
they're kind of designed to run a bunch of tools. That's their job.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks a lot for joining the show, and I hope you have a great day.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, and I hope your day is great as well.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Testing Code. Let's keep in touch. Head over to pythontest.com/contact to reach out to me, or /newsletter so that I can reach you, or /support if you'd like to, get a course or something. That's all for now. Now go out and test something.